Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rabbi Alex Israel discusses Vayitse. Rabbi Alex Israel is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Alex Israel.
Thank you, Larry. This week, we read Parshat Vayitse, and we encounter one of the most famous images of the Bible. Certainly one of the famous images of the book of Genesis, when we read about Jacob's ladder. The story goes like this. Yaakov, Jacob, our hero, is leaving home. He's off to his uncle's place, to Laban's house. He's going to look for a wife. He's also running away from his angry brother, Esau. And he comes to a certain place. Later on, we see he calls it Bet-El. And he stops there because the sun's set. And he lies down, takes a stone and puts it under his head. Got to say, doesn't sound so comfortable. And lay down to sleep. And he dreamt, and I'm quoting here from the Psukim. Vayachalom, vihine sulam utzav arza v'rosho magia ha-shamayma, vihine malachei Elohim olim v'yordim bo. He dreamt, and there was a ladder, its feet on the ground, and its head reaching the heavens. And there were God's angels ascending and descending on it. And the Lord was standing above him and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Yitzchak. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your offspring. And God continues with blessings, and we will talk about this. Of course, there is the imagery of the dream, and there is the spoken word. And the question is how much these two are in one a mirror of the other. But what exactly is this imagery that we see here of the ladder and the angels? I think the most famous explanation that many of us probably have heard is offered by Rashi. And Rashi is bothered by the fact that the angels are going up and then down. Of course, our impression is that angels live in heaven. And if they live in the celestial realms, angels should be going down and then up. Their embarkation point is in the heavens. And they go visit Earth for a specific amount of time, but then they return back to base up in the heavens. So they should be going down and up. Why are they going up and down? I have to say that Ibn Ezra tells us not to be worried about these things. He says it's just a figure of speech, up and down. So they are olim v'yoredim, going up, ascending and descending. But Rashi's bothered by this. And this is the springboard for Rashi to offer a wonderful and beautiful midrashic explanation, which says that the angels who accompanied Yaakov in the land of Israel are now going back to their origin, and a new set of angels, the angels, guardian angels, which guarded him in the land of Israel, are leaving him and going up to heaven. And there is a changing of the guards, and that's what he's witnessing. He's witnessing the changing of his protective angels. And now a new set of angels are going to meet him. And these are the angels of Chutz La'aretz, the angels which are there for outside Israel. Apparently they need a different skill set. And they are going to accompany Jacob all the way on his journey to Aram. Malachim shelivu ba'aretz. The angels which protect Jacob in the land don't leave the land. And they go up to the heavens. This is the explanation of Rashi. This is a fascinating explanation because it contains with it two elements. The first is that there is a certain difference between the land of Israel and outside the land of Israel. The second element is that these angels have a function, and that function is one of protection. How does Rashi know this, and what is his? Where is he drawing his sources for this? So I'd like to sort of maybe explain this a little bit. Part of his sources will be what God says immediately after this. Let's think what God promises him. The first thing he says is, he promises Yaakov, the land. He says, the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and your offspring. In other words, there's something going on about the land. Moreover, he then continues and says, Hinei anochi imach ushmarticha b'chol asher telech, v'hashivoticha el ha'adama hazot. I am with you, and I will guard you wherever you go. and I will return you to this land, for I will not forsake you until I fulfill what I told you. Now, it seems to be that something is on Yaakov's mind. Something is on the mind of Jacob when he goes to sleep. Because what is this dream coming to explain? Let me also maybe add something else. Jacob wakes up in the morning and he says, "Oh my goodness, I didn't realize that God was in this place. The Lord is in this place and I did not know. How awesome is this place? This must be the house of God. This must be the gate of the heavens." Does Jacob think that God is not with him? And indeed, I think what is behind Rashi's explanation is the fact that Yaakov anticipates that God will not be with him. What do I mean? Yaakov has been educated by his father Abraham, by his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. Abraham's first command is Lech Lecha, go to the land of Israel. Jacob's father Isaac, when there was a famine, he said to God, "Should I go down to Egypt?" God said, "No, stay in this land." Isaac never left the land of Israel from the moment he was born till the moment he died. Even when he needed to go and seek a wife, a servant was sent in order to procure a wife from abroad and bring her to the land of Israel. But Isaac, he's not allowed to leave the land. And Yaakov has every reason to believe that leaving the land, he is somehow abrogating the covenant. The covenant that has been given to Abraham is, "I will give your offspring this land." The covenant to Isaac, "I will give your offspring this land." It's all about the next generation will have the land. And now Jacob is leaving the land. And in leaving the land, he must think he is writing himself out of the covenant. It is for this reason that God has to come to him in a dream and show him that there are still protective angels. Admittedly, Chutz La'aretz, outside Israel, is in a completely different league to the land of Israel. You need different angels there. Maybe they need to be, I don't know, tougher angels, less holy angels. I'm not sure what their properties are. We're not told. But the quality of the angels in Israel is a different pedigree to the quality of those of the outside the land. There is a difference, and that's implied. And yet, God, even though he's leaving the land, God will continue to protect him. So, and by the way, this is exactly Jacob's response to the dream. Jacob gets up and he calls the place Beit El, house of God, and he makes a vow and he says, "If God be with me and guard me on the way which I go, and give me bread to eat and a garment to wear, and I will return safely to my father's house, and the Lord will be a God to me," in other words, God will keep on protecting me, "then this stone which I have set up as a monument, I will make into a house of God." What he probably means by that is, I will sacrifice here. I will eventually bring sacrifice. In other words, Jacob is scared. He's not scared of Esau. He's not scared of Esau, he's left him back at home. What he's scared is that he might never make it back to Eretz Israel. He won't make it back to the land of Israel. He will be writing himself out of the covenant. It won't be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because Jacob will remain in Aram somehow, maybe never return, or something will happen to him on the way. And therefore God is allaying his fears and say, "I'm guarding you. I'm sending my angels with you. I'm sending a new set, a fresh set of angels who are going to guard you in the way." And in fact, if you recall the final verses, the very, very final verses of the final episode of this Parshat Vayetzeh. By the way, Parshat Vayetzeh is an amazing parsha because it is one paragraph. There is no break. If you look in a Sefer Torah, if you look in the Torah scroll, usually there are breaks in between different paragraphs. Parshat Vayetzeh is one single continuous flow of text without a single break. And it begins with Jacob having this dream at Bethel and encountering angels. And it ends in the following way. It says, "And Jacob went on his way and he met angels of God. And when Jacob saw them, he said, 'This is the camp of the Lord.' And he called the place Machanayim." He called the place a double camp, Jacob's camp and the camp of the angels. It's fascinating. As Jacob leaves the country, he encounters angels. As he returns to the country, he encounters angels. Moreover, Yaakov sets up this monument. What is the idea of this monument? If you recall, what he does is he sets up a stone which has been under his head. It seems to be a long stone. He uses it as a pillow. And he sets it up in a vertical way and pours oil on his head. On the top, he pours oil. It seems to be that this stone is almost a replica of the dream. The ladder has, it's mentioned, Mutsav Arza, its base in the ground, Voroshom Magi HaShamayma. And who's on the top of the ladder is God. In other words, what we're saying is that when Jacob gets up in the morning, he wants to remember his dream. What he does is he sets up a Matseva, he sets up an erect pillar, a pillar which is vertical, and pours oil on its top to symbolize God's protection over the ladder. Yaakov was surprised to find God in this place because he assumed that God is only in the land of Israel, or maybe even more than that. God is with the covenantal father, with Isaac. He didn't realize that God will be wherever he is. And therefore he says, I didn't know that God was going to be in this place. I didn't know that God was going to accompany me. I thought I would go to Aram and be without God, and that God would remain in the land of Israel. Oh my goodness, God is coming with me. The angels are coming with me. This is a surprise. This is wonderful. And so this is what is the refreshing surprise of Yaakov's dream. And when he comes back to Israel and he encounters the angels of Eretz Yisrael once again, what's fascinating about it is that in that very last chapter, as he has extricated himself from Laban's house, there also, in chapter 32, verse 45, it says, as he leaves Lavan, Yaakov took a stone and erected it as a monument. In other words, as Yaakov is going into, leaving Israel, he establishes a monument. As he leaves Aram, he also establishes a monument as if to mark the spot and say, wow, God really was with me. Eventually, when he goes back to Bet El, he does bring those sacrifices and again establishes a monument to mark this moment that God has been protecting him all the time. So what I've tried to explain, according to Rashi, is that Jacob's worry is that he was written out of the covenant. God is saying to him, you're in the covenant. However, there are other readings of this dream, and I'd like to offer a second reading, which comes from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. I'll just read out the text here. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending. These are the princes of the heathen nations which God showed Jacob our father. The prince of Babylon ascended 70 steps and descended. Media, Madai, 52 steps and descended. Greece, 100 steps and descended. Edom ascended, and no one knows how many. In that hour Jacob was afraid and said, maybe this one has no descent. Said the Holy One, blessed be he, to him, therefore fear not, O my servant Jacob, neither be dismayed, O Israel. Even if you see it, so to speak, ascend and sit by me, I will bring it down. This is a quote from Ovadia. As it says, though he rises like an eagle and makes his nest amongst the stars, I will bring you down, said the Lord. This midrash from Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer pictures Jacob's dream, not about Jacob himself, but about his descendants. And it pictures this dream as a prophecy. What is Yaakov seeing? Why are the angels going up and down? And what is the ladder? The ladder is the ladder of history. And the angels, which are going up and down, are the angels which represent different nations. Now, of course, the Malachei Elohim Olim V'Yoredim Bo, they're going up and down, and we always think that they're going up and down the ladder. But if you want, the Midrash is playing with the language and says, Olim v'yoredim bo, they are going up and down over Jacob. In other words, somehow they are ascending Jacob and descending Jacob. Who are these angels? They're the angels of Babylon, the angels of Media or Persia, the angels of Greece of Edom. In other words, these represent exile. Jacob is going to exile, and he is seeing the future exile of all of his children, of the future exile of the Jewish people. Classically, there are many exiles, the exile of Babylon, the control of the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and of course the Roman Empire. So what's the message of the dream? Jacob first sees Babylon go up 70 steps, representing the 70 years of exile, and come down. Media 52, be controlled by the Persian Empire, 52 years according to the Midrash, and came down. Greece 100, and came down. Edom goes up, and it doesn't come down. This is a Midrash which is being written when Jews are still under the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire which exiled, destroyed the temple, and exiled the people. Now let's see the beautiful overlay which the Midrash is doing of Jacob's personal biography with Jewish history. Let's think about it. Jacob is fleeing the land. He is going into exile. Who is he being chased by? Edom. Edom in the Midrashic literature always symbolizes Esav. Edom always symbolizes Rome. So Jacob is running into exile from his brother who has chased him out. His brother is a cruel, red-headed hunter, a violent man. And this represents Israel, who are being chased out by the violent Roman Empire. And just like Jacob doesn't know when he's going to come back, the Jewish people don't know when the exile is going to end. What's the message of the dream? V'ine Hashem nitzav alav. God is standing over him. And God says, don't worry, I will give you the land. You will leave the land, I will guard you wherever you go, and I will return you to the land. Here the ladder is not the stairway to heaven. If you want, it's the degrees of how much alien nations can control the Jewish people. It is the ladder of exile. And the exile of Edom, the exile of Rome, looks like it is endless. It's without end. Are we ever going to come back? And the promise which is given to Jacob, our forefather, is yes, indeed, we will return from exile. Don't worry, this exile will have an end. And suddenly you see Jews in the second or third century who have created this Midrash, seeing Jacob's personal biography as a prophecy for their own times. A scared Yaakov. Here, by the way, Jacob is not scared of leaving the land of Israel. Jacob is scared that he will be killed by his brother, by his vengeful, bloodthirsty brother. And God says, don't worry, you'll go into exile, but you will come back. And in this regard, maybe I'll add a further explanation of the Ramban, where the Ramban says, look, see, all the angels represent nations. All other nations are guided sort of by agency. God appoints an angel to guide each nation, whatever nation it might be. V'hine Hashem nitzav alav. God is standing over. You could read it, God is standing over it, over the ladder. But Hine Hashem nitzav alav, the Ramban, Nachmanides, reads as God is standing over Jacob. God is guiding Jewish history. God is taking a personal interest in Jewish history. And suddenly, this image of the ladder takes on a whole different tone. It is now all about the vacillations of Jewish history. It's all about exile and return. And this is not Jacob's story, but the story of the entire Jewish people. Maybe if we can realize that this story of the ladder can be seen at such different dimensions, we can then appreciate why it has become an eternal symbol. Why it's become such a popular image in art and in sculpture, and why people remember this powerful image of the angels connecting heaven and earth. Because for us, sometimes this can be a message about protection, about God guiding us in difficult times as individuals, but it also relates to a national message, a message which says that even though the Jewish people have a long journey to go, and even though we've been exiled time after time, eventually we will make it back home. God is in some way guiding his people, and we will make it eventually, even if it's after a long sojourn in Aram, we will make it back to the land and be able to reestablish our nation in our land. Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Israel. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.